Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your host, Carl. The Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and sometimes not so favorite science fiction TV shows and films.
Today we will discuss Defiance. It comes on Sundays on the Sci-Fi Channel, and we are in season two.
Yes, yes, indeed. Surviving. It's hanging in there.
So, for some reason, I like to save Defiance up and watch them in a marathon. I'm not sure what it is, but it kind of brings me closer to the characters or something, I think. And it's just much more enjoyable for me that way. So, I think I've slammed three episodes in the past couple of days. And I have to say that while some of it is getting a little weird, some of it is just, it's becoming one of my favorite science fiction shows of, the more recent ones, mainly because, of course, Carl, you know, being a costumer, love the costuming. I love the look of this show. And is it just me or is Defiance getting a little sexy?
Oh, ain't no, it's no way it's just you. They got some freak happening this season. I mean, look, when it starts out with our mayor busting out in a dominatrix outfit, right then you know something's up on the new season of Defiance. So yeah, it has gotten a little frickier.
I think at the beginning of one episode we see what's her name? Tommy, his girlfriend.
Oh yes,
with
right.
The video camera. Getting a sex tape going on.
Yeah, that's, well, you know, she's all about the cameras. So that made total sense to me. That made total sense.
I guess it made total sense, but it's just like, that's going to get out.
That's it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That is getting some freak on right there.
Well, I mean, they were kind of sexy with it, but, you know, it didn't. I'm still scared for their characters, so I guess we can. You want to start there? Do you want to start somewhere else?
Well, okay. So, which episode are we starting with? I'm trying to remember.
We're just kind of gonna jump around because you know I can't stay on track. I forgot her name though. What was her name?
Yeah. Well, I'm pulling it up right now.
So I'm on IMDb and I can't find her name.
Okay, so she's the new one. She's the new one, and I do. I think it's like a name. Berlin,
geez. Okay.
Is that it?
It is Berlin.
Okay, right.
But so we give them having some really sexy time. I mean, the kisses were just so, it was really good. I just enjoyed that a lot. Made me blush a little.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't a sex scene. It was a tease morning scene with a camera.
that was mighty naughty. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There was nothing awkward about it. They actually made a sexy looking scene there. So that was good.
Something else that was kind of sexy but comical at the same time and not awkward at all. Rafe in the tub with Shtama.
Yeah, that was freaky. That was a little bit freaky. That whole scene where he's just chilling and she walks in. Yeah, it's a new season on Defiance.
Oh, yeah. So, if you haven't watched, so Rafe got himself in a little bit of trouble. He is no longer the head of the coal mine. It is run by, I guess, whatever force the governor is running for, Earth for, I don't know. But he is just a worker there now, and his grandson wanted to run the resistance, so he had been going around, killing people?
Well, he was stealing equipment, and in the process ended up killing some of those officers. And
killed some officers and peed on the mayor.
Yeah, that's not so cool right there. While wearing his, what was that, the catching fire hockey mask he had going on there? That was crazy.
Yeah, so he, made some really bad life choices, and Rafe, had to kill his own grandson.
Yeah, that was harsh. That was really harsh.
And so because Rafe was accused of aiding and abetting a terrorist or whatever fugitive, he got thrown out of his house and thus had to stay with Shtama and family.
Yeah. And it is because that Stama is playing her games that she made her home available to him, because we see what's going on between Stama and Daytac coming back into town. So she was trying to solidify her position, and she's trying to keep Daytac at an arm's length. And the best way to do that is invite a strange man up in your house. Excuse me, let me qualify that. Invite a strange man up in your bathtub. That is really how to put off a dude who's trying to mend a relationship. He comes in there, finds you in the tub with some other dude. That's not so cool.
Family, it's the dinner table. I told you, Carl, it's just like the dinner table, and it doesn't mean what you think it means.
Well, let's wait and see, because Stama was getting mighty friendly with Rafe in there, and he seemed to be enjoying the tub as well at that point.
Was funny. He just wanted to take a shower, and he didn't know where to go because he's living there now. And he was like, "Well, showers are for the lowest of low people. You're welcome to use our luxurious bath." And it was cleaned up, and he had on, like, you know how that whole set is all white. And so he was just out of place because he had a flannel robe on, he had on some crazy house shoes, and he gets in there, he has a servant, and he's like, "No, I got it, you know." And he gets in there, he's chilling, and then Shtama shows up with her beaded, barely there bath ensemble, and she gets in there with him, and it's very tense.
But you see that I enjoyed that scene. I mean, it is funny, it is sexy, it is full of tension. It was an interesting juxtaposition of emotions right there, and you just feel for Rafe. He doesn't know where to go. He's already run the servant out of there because she looked like she really wanted to bathe him. So he's like, no, that's not. Then Stama comes in, and he's like, oh man, what is going on in this house? Yeah, that was a good moment.
Oh my God. And then not only she really has down the velvet hammer type of
Yeah.
roll there, velvet covered hammer, because she goes in and she's like all demure and, "Oh, I want you to be comfortable and blah blah blah. And of course, I am running the family, and don't you ever threaten my son again because I am the queen bee." Just like, Lord, this woman.
Yep.
Oh my
She
goodness.
and Daytac are probably the most interesting characters on Defiance. I just think they you never know what they're gonna do next. And they don't go halfway on anything. They always go that extra mile for whatever it is they're up to. So yeah,
And
they're
then last time we spoke, Carl, Daytac had come home. He had choked
Dirty,
Shama.
dirty Daytac comes
He
home.
had dirtied the pristine all white room. He had been in charge. He took a lax hand, burned it, shot people. He came in there Godfather style, like, "I'm running this." And he just had his balls over the entire town, just hanging out.
No one like that. No, no.
Swing in the wind. And Shtama was like, "Oh, hell no." And she lured him in to somewhere, had some servants beat his ass.
It was his whole posse. It wasn't just servants. It was everybody that he had come in there to say, hey, y'all need to start, listening to me now. I'm in charge of this. You could tell his whole posse was not real happy to see him. I mean, look, his entrance was shooting the dude, well, excuse me, slicing the neck of the guy in the team there. And so none of them had a whole lot of loyalty toward Daytac. So when Stama said, I think we need to have a bit of an intervention with Daytac. They were ready. They brought him into that tent, and he crawled out of that tent.
No, they threw his ass out.
That's true.
Literally.
Yeah.
And so he's like living on the bad side of town in a bachelor pad with a shower instead of a tub. And Alak wasn't in the latest episodes, I don't think, but it was just funny to see him just going back and forth, having power, not having power, just plotting and scheming and all this other type of stuff. It is just a joy to watch.
Yep. Yep, yep. He was from the boss to the sewer there. He was a bad time.
So let's see what else is going on.
Okay, so we got Mayweather, the mayor, former mayor, now brothel runner, having a bit of trouble with the crack. That was a little rough.
Wasn't the crack, remember?
What do you mean?
It was the ego implant in the back of her neck that was put there by the mayor.
That's true. Yes, that's right. The new mayor. Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's right. But I'm sure the crack didn't help.
I'm sure it didn't help either. Because everybody who had one of those and had a bit of an issue.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And not everybody was doing the crack.
That's true. That's true.
So it was the doctor, the Dr. Mangala turned nice lady. It was the mayor and Amanda. What's her name?
Amanda Mayweather.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is her name. It was her. So she was seeing the guy who raped her. And
new mayor too, right? New mayor also has it.
Well, that's what I said.
Okay, yeah. It's a new mayor, old mayor, and doctor.
Who's new mayor, old mayor?
New mayor is the guy who spies on Mayweather.
Right.
And Mayweather is old mayor.
Oh, well, I was just using her. I didn't count her as old mayor.
Okay, gotcha. Yes, the three of them had the implant.
Yes.
And how they got it, I thought was really interesting. From a sci-fi standpoint, pretty cool. Pretty cool, that little gadget of technology.
They said what it was for, but I still didn't get what it was for.
I'm not exactly sure what it was for either. I'm just talking about the method of transmission was pretty cool. So you don't implant this thing always. It nanotech grows in you. So what they were talking about is in the process of removing it or transplanting it somewhere in the field, the little nanobots that make it up, they breathed them in. That's why they had this implant, because they were trying to take it out of somebody or on the battlefield, someone had gotten blown up. But the nanotech that makes them up, little particles of it, got ingested into our three characters. And before they knew it, it had grown in them and was controlling
them. I did not get that.
Yeah, that's what it was. So there's the scene where you can see like the little particles of it and growing and expanding. So I thought, man, that was a pretty cool new technology and seeing how that was used in the series. So, yeah.
But I thought that Niles Pottinger, the mayor, now mayor, he somehow manipulated that into Amanda, right?
I think he was trying to eavesdrop on her or feel what she was feeling or something like that. He was trying to hack it, but I don't know if he put it in her.
Oh, okay.
Because there was something about the story about how he got it and how she got it, but it seemed like somehow he had hacked her implant.
The doctor hacked it for the mayor.
Yeah, you go, right.
Okay, because I was trying to figure out, like, how was she involved? And this is the reason why he got her out of prison to do this, right?
No, I didn't think so. I don't think that's why.
Because they were talking about the research and something. I don't know. It was just, it seemed like this is what they were talking about because they had a conversation.
Right. Yes, they did have the conversation, but I thought the implant was for Isra, her thing, her alien her alien implant thing that's in her.
Oh.
Right? I mean, because wasn't the doctor doing research on that kind of stuff from the first
Yeah, season? Yeah.
And so that was her dark work. I think this implant stuff was new.
Oh, okay.
You know, a new story twist. And, of course, the interesting turn of the doctor, knowing now that she had her girlfriend back in the day.
Oh, okay. We saw that a mile away.
What are you talking about? Come on. It was a shock.
You didn't think that? What?
It was a shock.
She was not a shock to you that she was a lover of women.
It could just be an alien persona. Just how aliens carry themselves
so
on the mothership.
Full of it, Carl.
I adore you. I thought it was fun to see her trying to soften up a little bit with her girlfriend around.
Didn't soften too much.
For her, that was a long way. That was a long way for her. And you see, she kept the implant. She kept the implant because she didn't want to lose her girl. So that was kind of a sweet moment there.
I don't know. Maybe she needs to let it go. It's been 8 years.
Well, you don't see her messing with nobody else. So you got to hang on what you got.
Okay. I mean, you know, people cope different ways, but I'm not sure that there's any tactile sensation happening with that arrangement.
We don't know. Implants are powerful. They're powerful enough for you to see somebody walking around. Maybe there's more.
We can see things. I mean, we can touch them.
Yeah, but they're not robot implants that are doing it. See, this is technology. You might be able
to
feel that.
Okay, I'm done talking to you about this. Okay.
You know one thing I miss about Defiance? Hmm. I miss space on Defiance. I want to see space stuff on Defiance.
Are you kidding me? We just had a spaceship crash all over St. Louis Defiance. You know that big commercial that they have where they're like tick, tick, boom, and then the ship is blowing up. We finally got to see that in the episode, and we got to see like a four-armed freaking fembot walking around. I'm not sure it was like out in space, but it was in a spaceship.
That was my dramatic lead into that. Yes, I know.
Oh,
I'm simply going to say,
I'm sorry.
Finally, but since you just stole my thunder, you know, stole my whole thunder.
I thought you were confused again. I was helping you out because you're old.
Anyway, so finally getting to see some space on Defiance, I was pretty happy about that. I was very happy about it. And notice, once again, the space had to fall into Defiance, so it wasn't actually in space. But yes, at last, we start to get to see a little bit more of the technology, a little bit more new aliens. That Fembot, she had a bit of an attitude, didn't she?
Yeah.
She didn't seem real happy.
No.
Not real happy.
Maybe she didn't like that she had four arms.
Could have been a problem. Maybe she didn't like the fact that she looked just like the aliens from the end of AI. That might have been a problem,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah,
but either way, she was irate and was casting thunderbolts around and killing off a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So, that was kind of a fun episode to see some chaos breaking loose.
My only problem is that it reminded me that the show is based on a video game, and it felt like they felt obligated to put something from the video game in the TV show to appease some people. And I don't quite understand how it fit in with the whole thing, because I kind of blocked it out a little, and the only thing that pulled me in is like, oh my god, Fembot. Yeah. And then like, what is this for again? Well, did I miss something?
No, we don't know. The idea is that Defiance is supposed to be a very complex tapestry of alien interactions.
Yeah.
And there is all of this backstory that we don't know as viewers. Now, ordinarily, that's good.
Wait. Complex tapestry. Man, you crack me up.
But
I love you so much, dude.
I understand. That's what's supposed to make Defiance unique compared to a lot of others. We just talked about, in a previous cast, where characters were thinly written, they felt sort of stereotypical and cliche. Well, you can't exactly say that about Defiance. There are backstories, and they don't tell you in the first two episodes everything that's the backstory of these characters. So there's stuff going on that, whether it's attached to the video game or whether this is just the universe of Defiance, that is going on that we don't know about. So as a fan of sci-fi, as a fan of space, I've been missing more of that. I want to know more about that, because granted, I'm getting drawn into the emotional stories of the characters that we know, but dag, you know, still to not see a laser anywhere, to not see a working spaceship anywhere, this, I miss it. So, you know, you may say it looks like it's heralding to the video game or whatever. I'm simply hoping that this is them heading more into that part of this of the series, that part of the backstory. So hopefully we'll see more of these. Hopefully that wasn't the only bad alien that got loose from the ship. Hopefully we'll get to see, because I enjoy the action part of sci-fi as well. And Defiance has definitely been character-driven, definitely been big on the costumes and the interpersonal relationships. But I wanna explore a little bit more of that part of what's supposed to be this backstory that we haven't seen. So it was welcome. It was welcome. Now, I'll agree with you, it didn't seem to quite fit in with what we have seen. But for me, that's welcome. I want something a little bit more action-packed. I want something a little bit more
big. But, Carl, I don't want action for action's sake. I want it to make sense, and I don't want it to – it took me out of everything because I didn't know what she was for. Like, I'm pretty sure because I was rushing around trying to, like, get lunch and stuff like that, that – I may have missed, like, this person crashed here because she's looking for, maybe they said it at some point, but to me, it just felt like there was a ship that fell out of the sky. Nolan had to go deal with it, and Pottinger had to go deal with it, and then it was over. Where do they come from? Who are they? What do they want? Why are they there? What do they have in common? Like, I don't want that much mystery, because then you take me out of it, because then a lot of it was animated or CGI'd, and it didn't look and feel like the rest of Defiance, and it
You can always tell when they do CGI stuff on Defiance, but I hear what you say. Okay, look, I agree with you. I agree 100% with everything.
Because I'm right.
All I'm saying is that this is how they introduce new stuff. I believe, and so, yeah, the alien fell out of the sky. They fell out of the sky. We are assuming that this is going to fit in, because rarely does Defiance and the crew that makes Defiance just randomly throw stuff in there.
That battle from the very first episode was kind of thrown.
Well, but see, it is the background that explains part of this. Now we know where the junk comes from that's fallen from the sky. Now we know what the battle, you know, why there is a war between the aliens and humans, and we know that that junk's hanging around in space. We know that they're running around loose on Earth. So in the pilot and in the second episode, early on, we know that there is more going on than just what we see in the world of Defiance. So this is how they try to expand our world again to show us, okay, yeah, we've been hanging out in the bathtub for about 9 episodes, but guess what? There's more stuff coming and there's more stuff happening, and that's what this episode was about. So I don't believe that this is the last that we've seen of what happened there. I believe more was going to come, and I want to see that. I want to see it. So I enjoyed it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So there's a bit of weirdness in the latest, because we are like one episode behind, guys. Just one. But the last episode that I saw was where new old guy, trying to be mayor guy, whose name I don't know just yet, is coming into town giving Niles Pottinger a hard time. So now Niles is becoming one of our people and not the outsider. And now we have another outsider coming in. And so then, like, of course, we've also been getting, like, stories and getting to know Niles as the mayor. And we kind of sympathize with him. He has a hard life, blah, blah, blah. We, you know, just learn more about him. So new mayor comes in. And the first thing we know is that he likes to cross dress.
What? That was some wild stuff. Because yeah, he was pretty creepy as a tar. Looking like a like one of the tar folk. So
So,
he's
but is this like, this is not, he was still a male.
Yeah, right.
But
Yes, still a
he
dude.
likes to dress up like an, so he's white face?
He wants to get in the skin of the aliens. He wants to live like them. Yes.
But also,
Yep.
Christy McCauley did this as well at the urging of Hooker DJ. Because she, for some reason, has that type of setup and thought, hey, let's play. And this is how we're going to play. We're going to dress you up like one of them. You're going to go to their
Well,
club.
because she had been constantly been pushed away by the Tar family saying, look, you're just a human. You're not like us, you know. And so in her moment of feeling rejected by the other half of her family, she was taken to the side and said, look, if you want to know what it feels like to be those aliens, let me help you. Let me show you how. And so that's what was going on there. It just so happened that new mayor, what is that guy's name?
We I don't know, but you know, this reminds me of that one. It's very old. I saw it on YouTube. Eddie Murphy was on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
And do you know where I'm going with?
I know where you're going.
Okay, it reminds me of that.
You could also said, what was it, White Girls with the Wayans?
But I didn't see that.
Okay, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yes, the white face makeup. Some people can wear it, and some people can't. And when he showed up with that outfit on,
so creepy.
Yeah, that was creepy. That was
it
creepy.
It was grossly creepy.
Which I think is kind of fun because we all know it's makeup to start with. But like I said, it's odd how some people can pull off the look of that alien race, and some people you could tell maybe they just put half the makeup budget on him, so he really didn't look right, but he really did not look natural like one of those alien folks. So that was
it was disturbing because I think he added an extra layer of creepiness to it, just because I don't know, he like slid on some sort of child molester vibe or
yep.
something. I don't know. It just was just very snake and disgusting, and I wanted to barf in my mouth. And it was
snake,
just
snake is the right term. He just he slithered up to that girl.
Yeah, it was just gross.
Yeah. That was uncomfortable.
Understatement. So and what I find funny is that he went up to her and he picked her out of everybody in the club. Yeah. But then I had to wonder, is this a club for posers?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know if he was looking for other dressers, people who were looking to be in the skin.
Posers.
If he was looking at young women, I couldn't figure out which vibe it was, but it was it was slimy. Whatever it was, it was kind of slimy. So. Yeah, I don't know.
Don't really understand what.
But you see, okay, so that's part of the fun of this new defiance that's going on now. We are investigating a whole area, a whole dark corner of sci-fi here that is that you don't see just everywhere. You don't just see this when you tune into your normal sci-fi programs. So once again, they are creating a very vivid, very rich environment where all kinds of stories are going on.
But this is because I use like, oh, well, we might not have seen this before, but we have seen it before. We've seen Captain Sisko dress up as a Klingon. We've seen Captain Picard become a Romulan. However, they did it for a mission and we could accept it. This guy did it to be creepy.
Yeah,
that is difference.
That's a big difference. That is a very, very big difference.
Wear somebody else's skin.
Yeah.
Ugh, it was so just barf.
Mm-hmm.
Barf, barf.
Yep.
So I love that. And speaking about like, so if you do have a world with aliens, that's going to become a thing. Like, how do you identify? Maybe you identify as an Arathian or whatever else that, So, like, what is a race? What is an alien if everybody can dress up and be one and blah, blah, blah. Also, another thing that they're doing that I find absolutely fascinating is they're dealing with feminism from the perspective of a different alien race and culture. And
Oh,
it's
yeah.
something that Shtama is dealing with when she, because, she's in a new world, according to, her women here are liberated. Burning bras, blah, blah, blah. And she wants power, but everybody else in the community is shunning her because that's not the way it's done. Her solution to that was to have a hen's night. When the hens did not agree with her, she murdered them.
Yeah, that's hardcore right there. That's more than burning a bra, I'd say. But that's consistent with Shama. She is hardcore. Do not mess with her.
Not only did she kill them, she pinned it on someone else.
Yep, somebody she didn't like, that religious leader guy. So, yeah, she
Only did he pay, and he got punished according to their laws, where we break out the grocery basket full of rocks and put it in the thing, and they like it's the rack, vertical rack. And she had a very interesting conversation with Daytac. And I think he is fearing and or respecting her, or maybe wanting to rip her clothes off. I don't know what he wanted to do.
Yeah, he need to know who he was married to, really. 'Cause if he did not know before, he knows now.
Think
So
she got worse. Do you think she was always this way? Because it feels like she got worse.
Well, by worse, I just think, I think yes, she did get worse, and I think it is because Daytac did not work with her. That's what it was. I think there came a point where there was an opportunity for them to be partners. There have been many opportunities in the past where Daytac didn't have to be such a hard ass,
A dick.
but he constantly did that. He constantly did that, and so over time, Stomba got happy he was in jail. He said, finally got that fool off my back, and now I'm dead. And then when he came back, so yes, I believe she is she's had it. You know, she's when your woman's fed up. That's what's going on. Stama's fed up. Stama is fed up. And she is taking it hard. So yeah, that's you don't want to mess with her. You don't want to mess
It's
with her.
just so great because she does it in such a demure fashion, and she was doing the little anime giggle, and I the submissive everything, but she did it with creepily and passive aggressively, all with a smile, and it just makes her that much more of a psychopath.
Yep, it's working.
And I'm still confused because, like, I still am rooting for her because I believe that she has been wronged in some way. But at some point, I'm like, well,
It's a sliding scale
yeah.
with almost everybody on Defiance. It's hard to say someone is an absolute hero or someone is an absolute villain. And when you, especially when you're looking at Stama, she's got a big old sliding scale. It's hard because she's always up to nefarious stuff. It's drugs, it's murder, it's backstabbing. But at the same time, she's got some kind of loyalty to Daytac. She could have killed him a long time ago. She's creative. But she hasn't killed him. And there's a reason she hasn't killed him. Is it because she loves him? Is it because she wants to work with him? Is it because she's afraid to kill? We don't know yet. So these kind of motivations, very complex, very interesting.
Maybe for, I mean, like, I don't feel that she hates him, like, because
Well,
she, because he did some thing where he brought flowers and he bled on the flowers, fell to one knee, made some proclamation or something, and because he did this thing, she had to accept him back or had to grant him visitation of the grandbaby. And like, why? She's breaking every other rule. Why is she paying attention to that one?
Like I said, I I believe she's got some kind of a. I think she's got some kind of feelings for him still. I don't know how that translates in her complex calculations. But like, I said, seriously, she could kill him at any moment. If that's what she wanted to do, she could come up with something. And clearly she is not doing that. And I believe that it's because she's got an emotional connection to him somehow. She's not letting it on.
He's her baby daddy. So.
Well, but I'm thinking it's emotional. It's not just out of respect or out of a familial obligation.
They did get married, so they had to have liked some each other at one point.
Well, I mean, that was in the past.
They got married, and it was like a relationship that wasn't approved by her family.
Yeah, no, the whole context you asked me is, has she gotten worse? There's an arc. So in the past, yeah, they loved each other, or they thought they were going to be partners, or they fit within the societal framework that they were expected to do in the past. But that's before their ship fell to Earth. That's before they got a new daughter who's a human. That's before all of this other stuff started. Mm-hmm. So her change over all this time, and Daytac's lack of change during all of this time, is the tension that we're seeing here. So... yes.
I'd have to say that he changed too, because he allowed her to slide on so many things. And I think that those little freedoms that he granted her, and that
Why?
Quality that he gave her throughout the marriage.
Why? Why do you think he did that?
Because A, it was just his personality. B, they were in a new world, and he felt like he was so powerful that he can control her. I think he was so arrogant and so sure of himself that she wouldn't, you know, go too far. She would stay within. She would not be inside of a box, but like just stick a toe out of the box every now and then, but eventually just get back in the box.
Slide and scale, slide and scale.
Very, yes, you said it already. Yes, of course.
But what I'm saying, the additional thing is, I think he loves her, period. That's the reason.
Yeah.
No, but this is the slide and scale.
But are you sure he loves her? Are you sure that he's trying to...
It's
about possession or control.
It's got that kind of edge to it. But the reason all along that he's let her get away with the out of bounds things that he has is because he loves her. And that's his weak spot. So that's...
he was going to choke her to death?
Well, he didn't.
Ow.
Look, Jastama had him beat in the tit, but he's not dead. This is why I keep saying slide and scale.
Yeah.
You see, this is just their way they're working stuff out. You know, this is how they work through. This is therapy for them.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So this is opening up paths of communication. You know, I'm all my money. I'm going to choke you in the tub. Okay. Well, I felt a little hurt by that. So I'm going to beat you down in a tent. And they're going to work through this with time, you see.
Oh,
this
wow. You are so wise.
That's how
you can just see right through it.
It's clear.
I have to get your counsel more mm-hmm. often.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This is ghetto therapy. It's what it is. Ghetto therapy.
Yeah. Okay. So I can't believe that how this is a show that sci-fi has gotten right.
Well, it's got a lot of the Farscape folks in it. And from the beginning, one of the things that made Farscape great was good story, rich environment, good character development. And I immediately liked the environment of Farscape in terms of in space, richness of the different alien species. When Defiance came out, it did not seem as grandiose to me
mm-hmm.
as Farscape did. But I could always you can feel the potential in the characters, and the show didn't feel closed off. With each character, at least the main ones in Defiance, you could see they could go interesting places. Something interesting could happen. And that's what they've done from the first season and now into the second season. The second season, they have accelerated things.
They have accelerated things,
but it's building upon the world that they created in the first season and the rich environment for the characters. And they're not dropping it. They're not dropping it. They're continuing to do that and expanding it in a way that's interesting. So yeah, they're doing great. Good job, season Defiance. Good job.
Yeah. So I think we've covered pretty much everything.
Except, of course, we haven't said a darn thing about Nolan. Poor Nolan.
Oh, and Arisa. Yeah. Their story right now is, I don't care.
On the back burner. It's a little on the back burner there.
Arisa and her dark passenger, I don't get what's happening. We do now know that whatever's happening, she's not actually killing people.
Yeah, we think. Yeah.
No, because you remember Tommy walked up on her doing it to the one guy. He thought the guy was dead. And then they had a conversation and he said they were going to go to Texas with Berlin, but that didn't happen. And now, the guy came back to life.
I did see the episode, so I'm not that old. But the thing is are you just going to take it at face value that these reanimated people are them? We do not know what's going on. If she's being controlled by a supercomputer or an alien or whatever the thing, there's no evidence that the spirit or the motivation behind these reanimated people is actually them. It could be a copy. It could be a computer-controlled duplication that's got some other plan.
You are so suspicious.
Wait, look, oh, yes. Well, bringing folks back from the dead has always led to just normal behavior. Nothing odd ever.
I mean, they act normal at first. They just die. They just, like, maybe they were, it's like pufferfish, where they seem dead for a while, and then, boom, they're just back. I mean, why is it not pufferfish? Poison situation.
All I'm saying is, I don't know. For you to say, oh, they're fine. Sure, they were dead for 5 hours after having a tentacle injected in their neck. But after that, they're good. They're just walking around the town. Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Something tells me there's a little bit more to the story. Well, I think these people may just turn into the strain, and it'll be just like a conversion of two, because he's already got the girl proboscis, you know, just taking people down. So we don't know.
Whatever. So there's a thing with Nolan happening that I'm a little sensitive to, and I think I am being sensitive, but I'm just gonna put it out there. So ever since we went to Nolan's house and I saw him with the Tea Party flag, the no tread, don't tread on me flag, everything he's done has raised an eye to me. Like the way he treats Tommy, I don't know why he's treating Tommy the way he's treating him.
Because look, Tommy ratted on him. Look, everything.
But I know, but he just, I don't know. It just seems like he's treating Tommy. I'm a little sensitive about the way he's treating Tommy, number one. Number two, him and Nigel had a conversation and Nigel called him a bigot. And then Nolan was just like, I've been called worse. And I don't know. He's just been laying. It's just been little things like, is Nolan like a racist or something? Or like, what are they trying to do with his character? Because I don't understand why we saw the Tea Party flag. And if he's not a racist, then maybe he's being protective over Tommy because he knows Arisa likes Tommy. He said Tommy rat him out, but did that really hurt his feelings? Like, what has Tommy done really?
No, well, I think that really did hurt his feelings because it was a really delicate time where that happened. He'd just gotten back to town. There was that tension.
Yeah, but
going.
Nolan is not above the law. He can't just get away with all.
Well, he has been the law all this time.
Yeah, but
so,
things, if he wants to hold people to the same standard that he's going to hold people, he has to do the right thing. He can't just follow rules the way he wants to.
Now, hypothetically, that's the case, but look at what he's done historically throughout the series. He has been the law, and so he kind of bends the rules an awful lot. He bends the rules an awful lot. And the only way that can work, having that alternate path of legality, is if everybody plays by the same rules, or at least is behaving in a way that's expected to him, because he's the lawman. So he comes back. He's no longer the definitive law. He's under the oppressive, you know, boot of the various mayors that have come into town. Mm-hmm. He's not feeling himself right now. So again, this is what I'm talking about: sliding scale. We think of him as the hero, but we know that he has always had that outlaw streak from the beginning of the series. And so maybe now they're trying to flesh that out, that component of his outlaw is happening. And people have been getting darker over this new season. With Amanda going down and getting, you know, a little dark and drugged up and all that stuff, now Nolan has got pressure because he's not his authority and his half of his persona came from being the sheriff. And so now he's coming in. He can't even be sheriff of his home, his daughter, or whatever, you know, his whatever you want to call her. But, you know, his daughter's going off the rails and acting a little freaky, and that's causing him stress. So Nolan has got some issues. He's got some pressures. And all of that combining and coming together, I understand causing tension with him. But particularly, I thought that his issues with Tommy were specifically, he felt that was his buddy from before. They worked
but
together.
But he's been treating Tommy like a tool ever since. Like, Tommy, stay in the car and roll the windows up is basically what he tells Tommy every time it's time to go out and on a mission. And it just feels like he's been, like, casting him aside ever since he's come into town. Now, I don't actually believe it's racism or anything like that. However, there's something up.
I really just believe that he's upset because when he came back to town, he expected the same respect and authority from everybody that was around him that he had before. And particularly, Tommy was his second-hand man. He was supposed to be there. He was there back before Nolan left. And so now he's back. He's trying to put things back the way they were. And Tommy's like, look, I got my hot new girl, and she's in charge. And you're acting a little bit crazy, Nolan. I don't know what's up with the girl. She's acting weird. So I'm going to side with Berlin. And that, I think, Nolan took hard. I think that's what the issue is. And so he doesn't feel
comfortable. Oh, let's go to this then. So.
More frickiness.
What is up with Berlin and Nolan now? Because that's going to piss a lot of people off.
Well, see, once again, they've done a great job of finding an emotional trigger here. Because that is in no way, on no dimension, a good idea. What happened? There's nothing about that is a good idea. So throwing that bomb, that emotional bomb, in the middle of all of the stuff that's going on already.
I loved it though, because the fallout with that, because Berlin was feeling all whatever, because he thinks that, or she thinks that, Tommy is staying in town for Arissa, which. I don't think he's still in love. I really think, as a friend, I believed him when he said that he was concerned about her and that he wanted. He asked Berlin to trust him. Now, she should have given him enough rope to hang himself. Yep. She should have at least given him that, but she didn't, and so they are on outs. Nolan. Is pissed at Tommy, right, as well.
Yep.
And Arissa does not like Berlin, although it felt like they were trying to, you know, kind of
trying to patch it up.
Yeah, trying to just be civil towards each other or whatever. But now, none of that's Tommy. I'm scared for it. I think he's gonna die.
Yeah, I'm always worried about Tommy. I'm always worried about Tommy. So, and look, there was a moment I was a little worried about Berlin, too. An episode or so back, I was like, no, don't kill Berlin. Come on now. Come on, y'all.
Yeah, so. I still think she might die, but I don't know. But she's so cute, so I don't know if they're going to kill her off. Yeah. But I just think that when Arissa finds out that she slept with Nolan and Tommy finds out that she slept with, like, what do you think is going to happen? I don't know.
Well, I don't think Arissa is going to be such a big deal, because Arissa's like, he's doing his thing. I don't think she's, but I think Tommy, there's going to be some problems with Tommy.
There's already problems. Like, why would he do that? It's like he's just been picking at Tommy, and this is just like,
That's not going to help. Nope. So. Yeah, there's a lot happening on Defiance.
Yeah, some juicy stuff. It's kind of soap opera. I mean,
kinda.
So, like, is there this, like, what makes this sci-fi in space? Is there enough in it for us to be intrigued about it as a science fiction show, or are we just watching it for the characters and the drama? Like, and they're dressed up as aliens and giving us an excuse. Like how it is Babylon 5, and that's what we've been in Deep Space Nine, and that's what we've been watching the whole time? Or is this something different or the same old thing? Like, what is this?
Well, that's part of why Defiance is unique and a bit of a challenge for me, because it feels a lot more like a soap opera than what you see on DS9 or what you saw on Babylon 5. There's always complex emotional interactions on any good show that you're watching. And Defiance is really focusing on that side of it, on that part of it. That has made it a challenge for me because I want a little bit more. But like you said, you picked out probably the best example, which is casting feminism in this alien persona. It has allowed us to sort of revisit a lot of classical themes and ideas about men and women, men and women's interrelationship, how authority and power structures are going on between society and women's place in that. We're seeing that in a veiled way in Defiance. And that perspective is new in science fiction. And so I'm hanging with it. I'm willing to watch it. I'm willing to hang with it because not so heavy-handed, but it's clear that's what's going on. It's clear that's what's happening. There's the potential for more, and there's just a little sprinkling of the classical sci-fi in there that it keeps us going. It keeps us going. So I'm hanging in there. But yeah, it's different. This is not your traditional sci-fi show, and fortunately, they're good enough at the character development and the backstory and the emotional part of it to keep folks engaged. But I think it's time to sprinkle a little bit more sci-fi in this, if you want to keep folks of the non-soap opera variety involved.
You brought up a good point about me bringing up a good point about when we were talking about feminism and how it's discussed here. When was the last time we had like those type of, this is a little Star Trek, right?
Exactly, yep.
And we haven't really had these types of discussions or thought experiments going on in science fiction, and I really want more of it because we got the cross-dressing or culture crossing thing going on with the mayor. We
Hey, and
have
let's not forget Daytac and his buddy in the brothel. There was a moment there where we were like, wait a minute now, is Daytac is he interested in men and women? We didn't know. And so
Is
why
that a thing though? Because Shtama had her thing with Kenya.
it well we had this is the first time that we saw it with Daytac, though, so we don't even know if it's true or not. That may have just
Jail.
what huh what so we don't even know if that was true or not, or if it was just a show because he needed, private time to talk with his
It
buddy.
was private time to talk.
But hey, he played that mighty well, and the appearance to other folks that around him in that environment, no one seemed to raise an eyebrow about it. So does that mean that perhaps Daytac is bi and everybody knows it, or that he was just using it as a cover? We don't know. But it's an interesting thing to explore in science fiction. It's rare that we see it. So that's another example. So Defiance is walking all kinds of lines. They're doing some new things for sci-fi. Well, for modern sci-fi. Our classic sci-fi, this has been always there, but we've gotten away from a lot of this.
It's very exciting, this little show. I'm really proud of it. Really love this one.
It's doing great. It's great. I'm still watching.
Of course I want Almost Human. I'm still crying over that, but
Unbelievable.
we'll take it, you know? We'll take it. So is that all?
That's all I got.
No. Okay. Well, I guess if that's it, that's our show, Carl. We'd love to have you guys' feedback. Give us a call on our voicemail, 773-336-2686, and we'll play you on the show and respond to you. Carl will sing you a song. I
Okay.
don't know what'll happen. Go to our website and leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com.
Yeah, oh, you can find us online. On Twitter and Gmail, I'm RoboMinister or at RoboMinister, and Kat's at FancyFemBot, as well as on Gmail. And you can contact us both at Sci-Fi Party Line on Facebook, Google Plus, and Stitcher Radio.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
End of line.